she once was. She did own Lilith's den, after all. Mel wondered if she knew Vanessa as well as she thought. And more confusingly, Vanessa had been unusually possessive of Mel the whole night, even more so just now in front of Vicky. Until now, Vanessa's games of possession and control never went beyond the bedroom. Was this something else entirely? Mel hadn't missed the fact that Vanessa had made no attempt to correct Vicky when she referred to Mel as Vanessa's girlfriend. For a moment, Mel allowed herself to wonder what it would be like to actually be Vanessa's girlfriend. Vanessa's phone rang. She pulled it out of her purse. "It's the caterers. I have to take this. I'll be back in a moment." Vanessa hesitated. She turned to Vicky, placed a hand firmly on the blonde woman's shoulder, and said something to her too quietly for Mel to hear. Then she walked off into the garden. As soon as Vanessa was out of earshot, Vicky flashed Mel a charming smile.
"So Vanessa has finally found a pet she wants to keep."
She ran her fingers through her short hair.
"I can see why."
Mel fidgeted with her necklace. She didn't like the way Vicky was looking at her.
"How did you and Vanessa meet?"
"At the lounge. I work there."
"Oh? You didn't meet at Lilith's den?"
"No," Mel said.
"Has she taken you to Lilith's before?"
Vicky leaned lazily against the wall.
"We've been there,"
Mel said, not mentioning that they had gone there when it was closed.
"It's been a long time since I've seen her there. I guess that's because of you."
As quickly as it had come about, the sliver of jealousy that Mel had felt began to fade. But Vicky didn't stop there.
"I wasn't kidding about her being the scene queen. There was a time when Vanessa went to Lilith's every single weekend. I wasn't the only one who trawled Lilith's looking for subs."
Vicky brushed some invisible dust off her pristine jacket.
"But I've said too much already."
Mel frowned. She knew when she was being baited. "What did Vanessa say to you just now?" Vicky shrugged.
"Just that you were off limits, and to behave myself. For some reason, Vanessa seems to think that I can't control myself around pretty little submissive things like you."
Vicky gave Mel a penetrating look that rivaled Vanessa's. Mel crossed her arms and stared back at Vicky. Her eyes narrowed.
"Relax. It's clear that you've only got eyes for Vanessa,"
Vicky said. Mel looked across the garden to where Vanessa stood. She had hung up her phone and was walking toward them.
"That's my cue to leave."
Vicky turned to the mirror on the fence and smoothed down her hair.
"There's a girl over there who has been checking me out all night. The man whose arm she was hanging off has finally left her alone. I'm going to see if she needs rescuing."
Vicky turned back to Mel and flashed her a charming smile.
"I'll see you around, Melanie."
"Bye." Vanessa reached Mel as Vicky was leaving. She glared at Vicky's back as she walked away. "That woman." "Is everything okay?" Mel asked.
"Yes. It was a small catering mishap."
"What did Vicky say to you?"
"Nothing much. She just asked how we met and talked a bit about Lilith's."
Wrinkles formed on Vanessa's forehead. Was she worried that Vicky had revealed something about Vanessa that she didn't want Mel to know?
"Vicky said that you stopped going to Lilith's?"
Mel wasn't exactly sure what she was asking.
"Yes, I suppose it has been a while. I haven't gone there since I met you. I haven't needed to. Come on. There are people I'd like you to meet."
Vanessa's affectionate smile made Mel forget all about Vicky's comments. She took Vanessa's arm again. They ate, drank, and mingled a little more. Vanessa introduced Mel to more of her friends. Mercifully, she seemed on better terms with them than Vicky. Eventually, The winners of the silent auction were announced. Vanessa won the island getaway, which wasn't surprising considering how much she bid on it. The rest of the night passed by uneventfully. After what seemed like hours, the party began to die down. Vanessa and Mel sat down on the chairs at the edge of the room, watching the hall slowly empty. "That was quite the night, wasn't it?" Vanessa said. "Yes, it was wonderful." Mel slumped back in her chair. Her feet ached, and she was ready to fall asleep right there. "Melanie?" "Yes?" Silence. Then, "Come home with me."
"Sure."
"I mean it. Not to my room at the lounge. Home. To my apartment." Warmth sprung up in Mel's chest.
"Okay."
Chapter 18. Mel and Vanessa walked through the door of Vanessa's top-floor apartment. Vanessa flicked on the light. Mel barely even glanced at her surroundings. She was far too distracted by the woman standing next to her. After a moment, Mel realized that Vanessa was being unusually quiet.
"Are you okay, Vanessa?"
"Yes," Vanessa replied. "It's been a while since I brought anyone back here, that's all."
"Since Rose?" Mel wondered.
Vanessa turned to Mel. She had a soft smile on her face, which seemed to light up her eyes. And for the first time, Mel felt like she could see into their depths. Vanessa drew Mel toward her and kissed her, softly, slowly. It was just like the first time they had kissed, moments before they were swept up in a whirlwind of lust. But this time, there was no urgency, just a deep longing that only the other could quell. Their lips and bodies barely parting, they made their way to the bedroom. With a tenderness that Mel had never seen from her, Vanessa slid Mel's dress from her shoulders and let it fall to the floor. Before Mel could stop herself, her hands were at the straps of Vanessa's dress. "Please?" Her heart thumped hard in her chest. "I want to touch you." Vanessa touched a finger to Mel's lips and nodded.
"Tonight, you don't have to ask."
Mel unzipped Vanessa's dress and slid it from her body. It joined her own on the floor, a heap of black and blue fabric. The rest of their clothing soon joined it. They tumbled onto the soft bed in a tangle of limbs. Vanessa's scent, rose and jasmine and desire, filled Mel's nose. She dissolved into Vanessa's skin, relishing the feel of the other woman's body against her own. Their hands roamed over each other's curves, and their fingers caressed sensitive places. Vanessa slid her leg between Mel's thighs, and they ground and rocked against each other. Mel's loud gasps were matched by Vanessa's soft ones. It didn't take long for Mel to come apart in Vanessa's arms. But Mel wanted more. Of Vanessa, of them. And Mel wanted Vanessa to feel what she felt. She ran a questing hand down Vanessa's stomach. The way Vanessa's body quivered at her touch was all the encouragement Mel needed. She slid her fingers down to where Vanessa's thighs met, her light strokes eliciting short, sharp sighs from the other woman. The sound was so sweet to Mel's ears. At the same time, Vanessa's own fingers found their way between Mel's legs. It took all of Mel's will to keep her own hand moving. Mel closed her eyes. It was refreshing to be freed from their roles, if just for a moment. It wasn't that their roles were an act. They were an innate part of both women's being. But this way, they both got to give and take and everything in between. This way, they both got to let go. Vanessa began to tremble. Then she arched into Mel, her lips parted in a silent scream. Mel soon followed, descending into an orgasm so heavenly that Mel felt like she left her body. But they didn't stop. They used every part of themselves to bring each other pleasure. Their mouths, their hands, their skin. Mel lost track of how many times they came, sometimes separately, sometimes together. The walls between them came tumbling down until Mel didn't know where she ended and where Vanessa began. The entire time, neither of them spoke a single word. Hours later, Mel and Vanessa lay in bed, wrapped in the soft sheets. The sun was coming up. They hadn't slept all night. They had spent hours making love, which was the only way to describe what they'd done. Then they lay in silence, basking in each other's presence. Mel brought her hand up to her neck. She was still wearing the necklace Vanessa had given her. A gentle smile spread across her face. "Melanie, what are you thinking about?" Vanessa asked. "Just how lucky I am," Mel said. Vanessa trailed her finger over the curve of Mel's hip. "And here I was thinking the same thing." Mel couldn't keep her doubt from showing in her eyes. "You really don't see it, do you?" Vanessa reached out and stroked Mel's hair. "I've been under your spell since that night I took you into my room at the lounge. When you sat down on my couch, indignant that I'd helped you. I was telling the truth when I said I believed you could have handled it yourself. But I wanted to rescue you. I barely knew you, but I wanted to be the one to save you from hurt." Mel's heart fluttered. "All these things I do, all the lengths I go to, it's all to please you." She pushed Mel's hair behind her ear. Her hand lingered on Mel's cheek. "You have far more power over me than you know. I'm yours as much as you are mine." Mel's breath caught in her chest. Vanessa looked like she wanted to say more. But the moment passed in silence. "I'm going to take a bath." Vanessa climbed out from underneath the covers. "Join me?" "In a minute. I need a glass of water." "Okay. Help yourself to anything in the kitchen." Vanessa hopped out of the bed and walked off to the bathroom. Mel lay there for a moment, face down on the bed. Unlike Vanessa's bed above the lounge, this one was soft and inviting. And the sheets and the pillows, they all smelled like her. Mel pulled the covers in closer to her. It was just like being in Vanessa's arms. Mel sighed. Vanessa was waiting for her. She got up out of bed and walked out into the open living area. Once again, Mel was in awe. It had been dark when she'd arrived last night, and she had been preoccupied. Now she saw that the enormous apartment was even more impressive in the daylight. It was decorated similarly to Vanessa's room above the lounge. Here, however, there were touches of warmth. The floorboards were covered in soft rugs. A recliner sat in the corner, a blanket thrown over one of its arms. A well-read paperback sat on the table next to it. Mel headed to the kitchen and grabbed a glass of water. She decided to take a look around as she drank. She couldn't help herself. This was Vanessa's sanctuary. Mel wanted to find out what it revealed about the woman who for so long had been a mystery to her. Mel wandered through the apartment, peeking through doorways and marveling at the rooms. An office with floor-to-ceiling shelves filled with books, another bathroom that was even bigger than the master bath, several more bedrooms. Most of the doors were thrown open, inviting Mel in to discover their secrets. Mel learned that Vanessa enjoyed classic literature and that she had a large collection of abstract art. Finally, Mel came to one last door. Unlike the others, it was closed. It had a heavy deadbolt above the door handle. Mel stared at it. What could be in that room that Vanessa wanted to keep hidden away? She reached out to test the doorknob. No. Mel pulled her hand back. She shouldn't have been snooping in the first place. She wasn't about to try to get into a room that practically screamed, "Keep out!" especially considering that Vanessa was apprehensive about bringing anyone back to her home. Some doors were better left unopened. Mel made her way to the bathroom. Vanessa was waiting for her in a tub full of fragrant, foamy water. Her damp hair clung to her head, and her skin was glistening wet. Vanessa beckoned Mel in with a finger. She slipped into the bath in front of Vanessa and leaned back against her. Mel closed her eyes as Vanessa's arms enveloped her. Chapter 19.
Hey, Mel, coming to drinks tonight? James asked as he passed her.
Sure. Mel had earned a night off, and it would be her last chance with final exams on the way. Then she'd have to really buckle down.
Great. By the way, has Ben come in yet?
Yep, he's out back.
Thanks. Do you mind watching the bar for a couple of minutes?
Mel smiled. No problem. James and Ben were now officially a couple, and it was clear from watching them that they were madly in love. They tried their hardest to act professionally at work, but they couldn't help but show their affection for each other. Stolen glances, gentle touches, whispered words, and they lit up in each other's presence. Did Mel want something like that with Vanessa? The night of the fundraiser had been so perfect. During the week that followed, they'd spent every other night together. What had happened that first night at Vanessa's apartment never happened again. They had gone back to their regular dynamic. But now, everything seemed so much more intimate, so much sweeter. Mel fingered the choker around her neck. Vanessa was away for business, and Mel was surprised by how much she missed her. They talked almost every day, and at the end of every phone call, there was a silence filled with words unspoken. Mel sighed. She hadn't intended for this to happen. And she still wasn't ready to admit what this was. Her old doubts still played in her mind.
Hi there.
A short, curvy brunette leaned down over the bar, her crossed arms framing her generous chest.
I'll have a margarita.
Coming right up. Mel set about making the drink.
So,
the woman twirled a lock of hair around her finger.
Does your master ever let you come out and play?
Heat rose up Mel's face. This wasn't the first time someone had recognized her necklace for what it was. It didn't surprise her, considering what Vanessa had said about the clientele at the lounge and Lilith's overlapping. The sly smiles and subtle nods. They weren't suggestive in any way. They were more a respectful acknowledgement that they both belonged to the same secret club. But this woman clearly had other motives.
I don't play with anyone.
Mel handed the woman her drink.
And I don't have a master.
A mistress, then? The woman asked. Mel wiped down the bar in front of her, ignoring her question.
Wait. Don't tell me. You're one of Vanessa's?
Mel froze. Yeah. How did she know? And what did she mean by one of?
Typical. She always liked recruiting subs at the places she owns.
Mel blinked, then continued wiping down the bar in front of her. She didn't know who this woman was, and she didn't care.
What? Did you think you were special? You're just the latest on a long list of names. I bet Vanessa doesn't even remember half of them. She just uses girls like you until she gets bored and moves on to the next one.
Mel stopped.
What are you talking about? Who are you? I'm Rose. Vanessa and I, we have a long history.
This was Rose? She wasn't what Mel expected. She was older than Vanessa, and Mel couldn't imagine her as a submissive. Everything about her seemed predatory. But none of that mattered. She was banned from the club.
You shouldn't be here, Mel said. Oh? So you have heard of me? Did Vanessa tell you what happened between us?
Mel didn't respond, but she didn't call security either.
She hasn't told you? I'm not surprised, considering what she did to me.
The woman took a sip of her drink, never taking her eyes off Mel.
I was just one of her submissives at first. It was nothing serious. But then Vanessa decided that she wanted me all to herself permanently. She even gave me a pretty collar, just like yours. We were together for 2 years. We were happy. We were in love. At least, I thought we were.
Mel waited for Rose to continue. She seemed to have a flair for the dramatic, which made Mel wonder if she should believe a word that she said.
But one day, something bad happened to me. Something traumatic. And Vanessa? She couldn't handle it. Or didn't want to.
She lowered her eyes, her voice cracking.
So she ran. She disappeared. She cut me out of her life like I meant nothing to her.
Mel felt a gnawing in her stomach. Rose's story matched up with what James had told Mel.
Vanessa abandoned me when I needed her the most, when I was hurting and broken.
Rose looked into Mel's eyes.
You know what this kind of relationship does to you, giving yourself to someone, mind, body, and heart, trusting them with your entire being. It leaves you fragile and vulnerable. And for Vanessa to take advantage of that, to rip me open and take me apart time and time again, only to leave me to deal with the aftermath all by myself. It was heartless.
Mel spoke up for the first time during Rose's story.
Vanessa would never do that. That's what I thought, too, until she left me. I don't think she ever loved me, really.
Rose's eyes were filled with pain.
She showered me with gifts and said sweet things to me so that I would be her perfect little submissive and satisfy her interminable need for control. She gave me just enough attention so that I felt like she cared about me, but she never really gave me any of herself.
Mel's stomach lurched. Hadn't she had that same thought a million times before?
She's doing the same to you, isn't she?
Mel didn't respond.
Have you ever been to her apartment?
Mel nodded without thinking.
That's further than most of the others, then. How about her playroom? Has she shown it to you yet?
Her playroom? Was that what was behind that locked door in her apartment? Mel had been back to Vanessa's apartment a handful of times since the night of the party, and the door had always been shut. Her surprise must have shown on her face.
Didn't think so. Guess you're not that special to her after all, Rose said.
The sudden edge in Rose's voice shook some sense into Mel.
You need to leave. Now. I'll be out of your hair in a second. I just thought that I should warn you.
Rose downed the last of her drink.
Vanessa ditched me at the first sign of trouble. And she'll do the same to you.
Rose?
James's voice rang out from behind Mel.
What the fuck?
Rose put down her glass, shot Mel a cheeky smile, and disappeared into the crowd.
Damn it!
Mel watched James chase after Rose.
Was everything that Rose said true?
Vanessa never spoke about her exes or her past in general. Was it because she had something to hide? Was Mel just the latest of Vanessa's disposable subs? She thought back to her encounter with Vicky at the charity fundraiser. Vanessa had been reluctant to leave Mel alone with Vicky. Was it because she feared Vicky would expose her? Mel remembered Vicky's words.
Vanessa has finally found a pet she wants to keep.
James returned to the bar, his fists clenched at his sides.
I don't know how Rose got past security, but she's gone now. Did she give you any trouble, Mel?
No, Mel said. She just ordered a drink.
God damn it. This is the second time that she's gotten in here recently. Vanessa will be pissed.
Is she really that touchy about Rose? Mel asked.
Let me put it this way. Last time Rose got in here, I had to talk Vanessa out of firing the entire security staff. Now I regret not letting her.
Did Vanessa's hostility toward Rose stem from guilt?
I'm going to have to tell Vanessa about this.
James pinched the bridge of his nose.
Look, do you think you can not say anything to Vanessa until I've talked to her? I know you two are close, but I think she should hear it from me since it happened under my watch. I'll call her as soon as she gets back from her business trip.
Sure. Mel didn't feel good about keeping something from Vanessa. But if Mel told Vanessa that she had met Rose, Vanessa would want to know what Rose had said to her. And Mel wasn't prepared to talk to Vanessa about that, not until she'd had a chance to process it all.
Thanks, Mel. I won't mention to Vanessa that Rose spoke to you. I'll leave that to you. I don't want to get in the middle of anything. Just let me talk to her first.
Okay.
Thanks, Mel. I'm sorry for putting you in this position. James sighed. I'm going to go have a chat with security.
Mel watched James disappear into the crowd, a sinking feeling in her stomach. Surely Rose's words were just the angry rantings of a jilted ex. But Mel couldn't help but think about how everything that Rose said sounded all too familiar. Chapter 20. It had been a month or so into Mel's freshman year. She was at the top of the world. She'd finally left her old life behind. She'd had lots of new experiences, living in a dorm, going to wild parties, finding friends who she actually fit in with. No one cared that she was gay here, and she wasn't the only one. She'd had her first of many kisses, one of which led to several other firsts, most of them involving the girl in the bed next to her. Mel turned her head to look at Kim. Her blonde locks were in disarray, and her eyes were closed. She had a satisfied smile on her face. Mel watched Kim's chest rise and fall under the covers. Kim was Mel's roommate. Over the past few weeks, they had become exceptionally close, and an alcohol-fueled hookup one night had led to them falling into bed with each other over and over again. Mel was infatuated with her. The problem? Kim was straight as an arrow. At least, that was what Kim said. Mel sighed.
We can't keep doing this, Kim.
Why not? Kim asked, her eyes still closed.
I'm having fun, aren't you?
Well, yeah. The last few weeks had been incredible. But it wasn't because of the sex. It was the little things, the quiet moments that Mel had shared with Kim, having Netflix marathons in their PJs that lasted until the early hours of the morning, cuddling in bed and sharing secrets under the covers, waking up to a gentle kiss from Kim.
Then what's the problem?
Kim burrowed in close to Mel and pulled the sheet up over them both.
What is it that we're doing? Do you even like girls?
Kim shrugged.
I don't know. Does it matter?
It does to me, Mel said.
I like you, Kim, a lot.
Look, Kim looked up at Mel with her big, pale eyes.
I don't know if I like girls, but I do know that I like you. Isn't that what's important?
I guess. But is this ever going to go anywhere? Kim kissed Mel on the lips.
We don't have to worry about any of that right now. We're young, Mel. This is college. Let's just enjoy ourselves.
Before Mel could respond, Kim pushed her shoulders down onto the bed and straddled her body, leaning down to kiss her again. And within moments, Mel's complaints were forgotten. Kim woke Mel up with a soft kiss.
Good morning, beautiful.
Morning, Mel grumbled, still half asleep.
Ah, did I wake you? Let me make it up to you.
Kim slipped her hand into the bottom of Mel's shirt. Mel's eyes flew open.
No, Kim, stop.
Mel pushed her away.
Geez, what's the matter with you?
Mel sighed. I've told you. I don't want to keep doing this.
That's not what you said last night. Last night was a mistake.
Kim pouted at her.
I'm serious, Kim. I don't want to be your fuck buddy. I want a girlfriend.
Ugh, that again. Kim rolled her eyes.
Why are you always going on about this, Mel?
Because it's important to me.
But why? What's wrong with the way things are now?
Nothing. Nothing has to change, Kim. All I want is for you to acknowledge what this is.
Look at us. We're basically a couple already.
Kim didn't deny it.
If you don't want anything to change, then what's the problem?
Mel wanted to scream. Kim always seemed to miss the point, or simply refused to see it.
The problem is that I'm falling in love with you, Kim.
There. She said it.
I can't fall in love with someone when they don't even like me enough to want to be my girlfriend. And you can't tell me that you don't have feelings for me, too.
Mel's confidence was feigned. She wasn't actually sure if Kim shared her feelings, but she hoped that she was right.
Look, I really like you, Mel. I care about you, and I want to be with you. Isn't that enough? Aren't I enough for you?
Kim, if you really cared about me, then something as stupid as a label wouldn't matter.
No. Mel wasn't going to let Kim turn this on her again. Mel steeled herself.
I can't do this anymore, Kim. I'm sorry, but I can't be with you without really being with you.
Mel got up. I'll go see the RA tomorrow about moving to a different room.
Wait, don't leave!
Kim's voice tugged at Mel's heartstrings. She almost lost her resolve. But Mel had caved to her too many times before. She opened the door and left the room. Mel was sitting in the common room a few hours later when the text came.
Will you be my girlfriend?
Kim rolled over onto her side and faced the wall. Mel's stomach sank. Kim was in one of those moods again. This seemed to happen more and more these days.
Is everything okay, Kim? Mel asked.
I'm fine.
Kim curled up into a ball.
God, why are you always asking me that?
Because you don't seem fine. And you're shutting me out again.
I'm not shutting you out. You're just too suffocating. God, why are you so needy all the time?
I'm not, Mel sighed. It's just that you say you love me, but you don't act like it. Sometimes it's like you're only using me for sex.
Which doesn't even make sense since the way that you act after we have sex makes me think you hate it.
And you hate me. Mel's voice quavered.
How can you even say that? I'm the only person who has ever stuck by you, who has ever loved you, and this is how you repay me? After everything that I've done for you, I agreed to be your girlfriend just for you, for God's sakes. You won't even let me tell anyone that you're my girlfriend. We've been together for 6 months, and our friends don't even know about us, Mel said.
We've talked about this. You know how my parents are. If they find out, they'll disown me.
Or worse. Is that what you want?
No, but... Mel took a deep breath. I'm tired of this, Kim. I'm tired of all the fighting. I'm tired of you lashing out at me. I'm tired of all the guilt trips.
Me? You're the one who's always trying to make me feel guilty. You're the one who's saying that I don't love you. How do you think that makes me feel? I'll never be enough for you, Mel.
Is it really asking that much to have my girlfriend tell me she loves me once in a while? Or, God forbid, show me some affection? I have needs too, you know.
You want me to tell you that I love you every minute of the day and dote on you all the time?
I'm not your mother, Mel. It's not my problem that she never did all those things.
Kim scoffed.
And these needs of yours? You mean all that perverted shit you're into? It doesn't take a shrink to figure out why you're so messed up.
Mel winced. This wasn't the first time Kim had used things that Mel told Kim in confidence against her.
That has nothing to do with this.
She threw her arms up in the air.
This is pointless. I'm not putting up with this anymore.
Mel turned to leave.
If you walk out that door, it's over. You'll never be able to find anyone who loves you like I do.
Kim's words hit Mel hard, but she held firm. Mel stormed out the door and slammed it behind her. She spent the next few days avoiding Kim, which meant going back to their dorm room as little as possible. When they did run into each other, Kim simply pretended that Mel wasn't there. That was fine with Mel. She wasn't surprised by Kim's behavior. Kim probably thought it was only a matter of time until Mel came crawling back. But as far as Mel was concerned, it was over between them for good. One night, she came back to her dorm room after spending most of the day in the library. She hoped that Kim was asleep since it was so late. But when she opened the door, Kim was sitting on Mel's bed. Her eyes were red and her cheeks were wet with tears.
I'm sorry, Mel,
Kim said, her voice cracking.
I didn't mean those things I said.
Mel stood rooted in the doorway. Kim, I
need you, Mel.
Kim began to sob.
You're not going to leave me, are you? I can't live without you.
As Mel looked into Kim's pleading eyes, her resolve shattered. Kim. Mel sat down on the bed next to her girlfriend. I'll stay. But things have to change. We can't go on like this forever.
I'll do better. I promise.
Kim buried her face in Mel's chest.
I love you, Mel.
I love you, too. Mel hugged her tight. Mel watched Kim pack the last of her things. Summer was finally here. Everyone was looking forward to it, except for Mel. She was anxious about being away from Kim, especially considering how strained things had been between them for the past few days. Kim cleared everything from the top of her desk and dumped it into a box with a loud thud. Is everything okay, Kim?
Yes,
she snapped. They sat in silence as Kim packed the last of her things. Mel had felt like she was walking on eggshells all week. Was Kim upset about going home to her overbearing conservative family? Or had Mel said or done something to set her off? So you're still coming to visit over the summer, right? Mel asked. Mel wasn't looking forward to going home. Kim's visit was the only thing she had to look forward to.
Yeah, about that.
Kim sat down on the bed a few feet away from Mel.
I don't think we should do this anymore. We've let things go far enough.
What? What do you mean?
You know, this. It was fun while it lasted, but it's run its course.
Mel looked at Kim blankly.
Come on, Mel. This was never serious. You had to know that.
Mel's stomach dropped. She knew where Kim was going, but she refused to believe it.
Of course you didn't. Kim rolled her eyes. You only saw what you wanted to see. Think about it.
Was she right? Mel thought about all the times Kim had been hot and cold, how she'd pushed Mel away over and over, how she seemed to only care about sex. Had Mel ignored all the signs because she was in love with Kim?
No,
Mel finally spoke.
No, you told me you loved me 100 times. You can't tell me that wasn't real.
I only told you that to get you off my back. Hell, I only agreed to be your girlfriend so you'd stop bothering me about it. It was just so hard to say no to you when you were always so sad and needy all the time. I didn't feel like I had a choice.
Are you saying you were with me out of pity?
Don't look at me like that, Mel. Like I said, it's college. I wanted to experiment. Everyone does this. But I'm not actually into girls. Not that way. You'll probably grow out of it, too. You're wrong, Kim. This isn't a phase for me. I like girls. I always have. And I love you. Maybe you really do love me, but I never loved you. You knew that. You even said it to me yourself. No. Could it be true? Had their entire relationship been a lie? I'm really sorry, Mel. Kim's words all hit Mel at once. She started to cry. Kim was the first girl she'd ever loved. And now, like everyone else in Mel's life, Kim was throwing her away like she meant nothing. I gotta go. My ride is leaving soon. I'll see you around, okay? Kim got up from the bed and left Mel sobbing in their empty dorm room. Chapter 21. Mel sat next to Vanessa in the back seat of Vanessa's Mercedes. As soon as she'd returned from her trip, Vanessa had taken Mel to dinner at one of the restaurants she owned. Now, they were on their way to Lilith's den, for the first time since that night so long ago. Butterflies filled Mel's stomach. She was excited, but at the same time, she felt a sense of unease. Since Mel's conversation with Rose, the woman's words had played over and over in her head. The time and distance from Vanessa had only made her insecurities fester. "Are you all right, my pet?" Vanessa asked. "I'm fine," Mel said. The way Vanessa called her "my pet" rankled her now. Vanessa's phone rang. Mel tensed. Was it James calling to tell Vanessa about Rose? Mel had kept her word to him and hadn't said anything about it to Vanessa. Had James called to tell her already? Even if he had, Mel doubted that Vanessa would mention it to her. Vanessa looked at her phone. She silenced it and shoved it back in her purse. It definitely wasn't James. Vanessa always picked up his calls. It had to be another of those mysterious phone calls that Vanessa always ignored. It was happening a lot lately, and they seemed to get to her even more. At times, Mel would find Vanessa gazing off into the distance, her forehead lined with concern, like right now. "Is everything okay?" Mel asked. "Yes." Vanessa snapped out of her trance. "Everything is fine." "Are you sure? You seem worried." "Yes, I'm fine." Vanessa's lips were pressed together in a straight line. Mel wasn't surprised. Vanessa never confided in her in the past. Why would things be any different now? Vanessa turned to Mel. Her worried expression had been replaced by a hungry look. "I have quite the night planned for us." She slid a hand along Mel's thigh. Vanessa hadn't told Mel what this elaborate scene she had planned involved. Keeping Mel in the dark was all part of Vanessa's game. And Mel couldn't deny how much the suspense thrilled her. But Mel couldn't help but notice the timing of Vanessa's shift in mood. Did Vanessa only need Mel to satisfy her need for control? Mel could think of someone else who only needed her for sex. Kim. Mel pushed the thought out of her mind. Kim had been abusive. Mel knew that now. And Vanessa definitely wasn't. But Vanessa had said from the start that she wasn't looking for a relationship. Neither was Mel at the time. But as they'd gotten closer, Mel had found herself wanting more. And Mel thought Vanessa did, too. What if she was wrong? What if she really was just a toy to Vanessa? They pulled up out the front of Lilith's. Once they were inside, Vanessa took Mel up to the Scarlet Room. She gave her usual spiel about safe words and trust, and they went inside. The room looked the same as the last time, but now there was a high-backed wooden chair in the middle of the room. A small table sat next to it, with a black leather bag on top. Mel recognized the bag. It was the same bag of toys that Vanessa had taken to the hotel room on Mel's birthday. "Take a seat," Vanessa gestured toward the chair. Mel sat down. Vanessa pulled a long piece of black cloth out of the bag. Within seconds, it was around Mel's eyes. Vanessa drew the back of her fingers down Mel's cheek. Mel could feel Vanessa's breath and the heat of Vanessa's face just inches from her own. Her lips parted. Vanessa brushed them with her fingertips, then pulled away. So it was to be a night of mind games designed to drive Mel into a state of frustration. It was working, but not the way Vanessa intended. Vanessa traced a finger down to the collar around Mel's neck.
"You're all mine tonight. What should I do with you?"
Vanessa rifled around in the bag, then dropped something onto the table with a metallic clink.
"First, I'm going to make sure you can't escape from that chair."
"But what then?" Vanessa reached into the bag again. A buzzing filled the air.
"A vibrator?"
Vanessa drew it down Mel's thigh, sending vibrations through her. Mel's hair stood up on her skin.
"I could torture you with pleasure until you begged for mercy. Or..."
Vanessa brushed something along Mel's arm.
"I could punish you with this."
Was it a flogger? Mel liked the sound of that. She wanted something physical, something visceral, something to drown out everything else she was feeling. She knew it was wrong, but she didn't stop Vanessa. She wanted to feel the rush, to take her mind off everything.
"Is that what you want?"
Vanessa trailed the flogger along her thigh.
"Yes,"
Mel replied.
"Yes? Yes who?"
"Yes, Vanessa." Silence filled the room. Neither of them moved.
"No."
Vanessa pulled the blindfold from Mel's eyes. Mel squinted in the light.
"I didn't say to stop. I don't care."
Mel let out a frustrated groan.
"Velvet," Vanessa said.
Mel froze. She had never once used her safe word, but it had been drummed into her head that it meant that everything stopped. She sighed. She knew that Vanessa had been right to end things. This all felt so wrong. Vanessa went over to the bed and sat down.
"Come, sit."
Mel obeyed. Tension hung in the air. And now, it wasn't just coming from Mel.
"Melanie?"
Vanessa's voice shook. "What the hell is going on?" "Nothing." Vanessa wasn't the only one who got to refuse to share her feelings.
"Fine. If you don't want to talk, then you're going to listen. Because this, whatever it was that you just pulled, it's unacceptable."
"Unacceptable? I'm not a child, Vanessa," Mel snapped. "Don't speak to me like one."
"Are you sure? Because you're behaving like a child right now."
Mel knew Vanessa was right, but she remained silent.
"Christ, Melanie."
Vanessa got up and started pacing next to the bed.
"This isn't a game. You know better than to come in here like this. Angry? Reckless? Do you have any idea how dangerous all of this is? Especially if you're in the wrong state of mind?"
All the feelings that had been festering inside of Mel began to boil over.
"You're the one who's always using this as an outlet for dealing with your own goddamn problems, whatever they are. Do you think I haven't noticed that every time you get upset, you assert your dominance over me in order to feel better?"
Vanessa's face turned red.
"That's different, Melanie, and you know it. I'm in control of myself at all times. Right now, you're clearly not. And that makes people do stupid things, like push themselves harder than they should. Like, ignore their limits. That's how accidents happen, Melanie. That's how people get hurt. Mel felt a pang of guilt. And you do not pull this shit on me. Do you have any idea the position you're putting me in? I was about to cuff you to a chair, for God's sake. I had a whip in my hands, Melanie. Do you have any idea how easy it is for me to hurt you if we're not careful? Vanessa's voice shook. Do you have any idea what it's like to live with that sort of guilt? I just what, Melanie? What could possibly make you behave this way? Vanessa crossed her arms. Well, tell me. Is that an order, or do I have a choice? Vanessa's eyes filled with hurt. When have I ever made you feel like you don't have a choice? Vanessa sat down. Melanie, talk to me. What's the matter? Mel spat out the first thing that came into her head. Those phone calls you keep getting. Why won't you tell me what they're about? Why are you so touchy about them? What? That has nothing to do with you. She looked at Mel with narrowed eyes. What's this really about? You're always keeping me at arm's length. You never let me in. And you expect me to become vulnerable to you time and time again, but you never give me any of yourself. Mel couldn't stop her thoughts from spilling out. You're always going on and on about trust. Do you even trust me? Melanie, or is this all just a game? Do I mean nothing to you? What makes you think that? Where is this coming from? Do you care about me at all? Or am I just some toy, like Vicky said? Something for you to use up and throw away, just like all the others? The color drained from Vanessa's face. Just like Rose? Vanessa recoiled, and Mel knew that she had gone too far. Get out, Vanessa said coldly. Now. Mel ran out of the room, slamming the door shut behind her. Somehow, she found herself out on the street. Elena was waiting outside for both of them. Mel streaked past her, her eyes full of tears, ignoring Elena's yells. When Mel got home, she took off the necklace that Vanessa gave her and tossed it deep into the bottom drawer of her dresser. Chapter 22. Mel stood by the bar at the lounge. It had been 2 weeks since that fight with Vanessa. 2 weeks, and Mel hadn't heard a thing from her. That was long enough for Mel to know that things between the two of them were damaged beyond repair. Mel didn't even want to repair them, not after the way Vanessa had treated her. Mel knew she wasn't innocent in all of this. But Vanessa? She had kicked Mel to the curb, then had disappeared. After 3 days, Mel's regret overwhelmed her. She'd pushed her pride aside and called Vanessa, fully prepared to apologize and talk things out. But it rang and rang until it went to voicemail. Mel didn't try to contact her again. If Vanessa wanted to talk to her, she would. But she didn't even try. Mel should have known that it was all too good to be true. She was done. She'd gotten this far in life on her own. She didn't need anyone else. That's it, James said. I can't stay out of this any longer. Mel crossed her arms. Do you really have to do this, James? Mel knew that James didn't deserve her ire, but she didn't care. Yes, we do. He threw his arms up in the air. What the hell happened between you and Vanessa, Mel? You've been moping around here like a piece of you died, and I haven't seen Vanessa like this since, well, Rose. So James had seen Vanessa. That meant that Vanessa hadn't completely disappeared. She was just avoiding Mel. Look, I know that you two had a fight, but have you even talked about whatever it is that happened? Mel shrugged. Wait. Don't tell me that Rose caused this. Did something happen the day that she came in?
James took Mel's silence as confirmation.
Look, I still don't know what happened between Rose and Vanessa, but I pieced together enough to know that you can't trust her, especially when it comes to Vanessa.
It wasn't Rose.
It wasn't only Rose.
Vicky had said the same thing, and Vanessa hadn't denied any of it.
James let out a frustrated groan.
Don't you see it, Mel? You're both exactly the same. Too stubborn to say what you're really feeling. Afraid of getting your heart broken.
Just talk to her, Mel. I'm sure you can work things out.
It's over between us, okay, James? Mel yelled. I don't want to work things out. I don't want to talk to her. I don't want to see her ever again.
Looks like you don't have a choice.
He was looking over Mel's shoulder. Mel turned. Vanessa was walking toward them. Mel sighed.
Talk to her, Mel. Your shift is almost over anyway. Go.
James walked off into the back. Vanessa reached the bar.
Hi, Vanessa said. Can we talk?
There's nothing to talk about. Mel turned away and began tidying up the bar.
I need to tell you the truth, Melanie. About everything. About Rose.
Mel hesitated.
Please, Melanie.
Mel balled her fists. She had never been able to resist Vanessa's pleas. Fine. A few minutes later, they were seated at a booth at the quieter end of the club. A generous glass of whiskey sat before each of them. Vanessa had insisted on it. Mel was begrudgingly grateful. Vanessa took a long drink. She placed her glass down on the table.
I'm so sorry, Melanie, for the way that I treated you that night.
For disappearing. She paused.
I'm sorry. I'm not very good at this. This is hard.
This is hard? For you?
Mel's voice cracked.
It's been 2 weeks, Vanessa. 2 fucking weeks since you yelled at me and told me to leave. And then nothing.
I know. I'm sorry.
I tried to call you.
Hot tears formed in the corners of Mel's eyes.
I know. I'm so sorry, Melanie. I was in a bad place and...
Vanessa closed her eyes for a moment.
I can explain. Or at least, I can try to.
Mel crossed her arms. Nothing that Vanessa could say would make her change her mind.
James told me that Rose came in here. He omitted the fact that she'd spoken to you until I pressed him. You never said anything.
She looked into Mel's eyes searchingly, but Mel's face was stone.
It was no coincidence that Rose came in here and spoke to you. She must have heard about you after I took you to the fundraiser. People gossip. Word gets around. She probably got jealous and decided to sabotage things. She's like that. And for the past few weeks, she's been... Well, she's the reason I've been so distracted lately.
For the first time, Mel noticed that Vanessa looked different. She was wearing jeans, a plain blouse, no makeup. Her hair was pulled back into a messy ponytail instead of loose over her shoulders like usual. It was a far cry from the impeccably put-together woman Mel knew.
I'll start at the beginning. I'll start with what really happened with Rose. I didn't abandon her, Melanie. I ended things because she was careless about her limits. And it nearly killed her.
Mel watched Vanessa take another drink. She was clearly struggling with this. Mel owed it to Vanessa to hear her out.
I met Rose years ago at Lilith's Den. We were instantly drawn to each other. We were both deep into the BDSM scene at the time, her even more so than me. She was older and more experienced.
which was why I never expected that things could go so wrong. She trailed off, a distant look in her eyes.